basically along the same lines, just trying to find way to help my son to develop into a fully functional adult later, who could be independent, could be productive and happy. In a way, I'm happy. And it took me some time to kind of come to that, to be happy with the way he is. I guess you go through stages, like first you're in denial, then you think, oh, he's gonna grow out of it. Then, okay, maybe we can therapy the whole thing out of him. Over time you realize that's not going away and that it's just the way he is. For me, it's an education, so I'm grateful, actually, that I have a son like this. Beautiful, yeah. It wasn't easy, so arriving to this acceptance and actually looking at it as a blessing has taken years. And I think maybe even to a greater extent that what parents experience with typical children, as they say, as you teach your kids, you learn yourself. I'd say this experience is like sort of learning on steroids, because you go outside of the typical path into learning other things. And even though we do hear that you can never know what's going on in the head of an autistic person, as they probably won't completely understand what goes on in the head of a like typical quote-unquote person. But you do try to put yourself into his shoes, and it is a learning experience. And at the end, I see other people differently too. And I think that's definitely a blessing to be able to do that. Instead of kind of looking at somebody and thinking, this person looks weird, you look at them very differently. Whether you're talking about autism or anything else that falls outside of the typical definition of somebody. And you, I think, learn to appreciate everything that person has, even though they could be quite different from yourself. So sometimes you snap and then you kind of think, ah, oh, why did I do that? Like, it's been going so well. But I guess we're all human, so from one of the most important things I see in developing, teaching a child, whether autistic or not, is for them to grow up confident about themselves. And I think I see it with him. So it doesn't look like it is a disability. Like, so he doesn't think of it as a disability. Because, and you want to sort of bulletproof your kids to some extent. Of course, like we said before, we're all human and you suffer from different situations, and other people affect you, the way they treat you and the way they look at you. But you want that to build in some level of resistance to that negativity, because there always going to be somebody who's going to say, oh, you're weird, or you're different, or I don't want to play with you, or even if people don't say, they start acting like that, and you feel that you're being sort of singled out for being different, and you want to have that level of self-confidence and resilience to just say, okay, that's fine. I love who I am. I'm not gonna kind of think too much about it, and just move on and kind of do the things you like to do. So for either a typical kid, or, and especially for an autistic, I think that's super important. I can say about my parents, because I mean, my dad is in his 70s, my mom late 60s. I think my dad's still having a hard time accepting that about Nicholas. So he looks at him like, what do you, he still tells me all those years later, sometimes it just comes out of him like, what do you mean autism? Like, what does that mean? Oh, lack of eye contact. Oh, lack of some social skills, like repetitive behavior, maybe something else. And he's like, I got all of those things. Like, and I'm fine. Like, what do you need all this special stuff for that you are working with him and then on? And sort of, and then I tried to explain that, look, a lot of the things that could be easy for a typical kid to learn, for him, he needs to put two or three times the effort. It's all teachable. It's not like he can't learn it, but some of the things are harder. So that's why there is two or three times the effort to actually to teach him all that stuff. At the end of the day, we're all social creatures, and even though he might not understand how other people think, he may still learn how to behave in a way that would help him advance in the future. So that's what it's about. And but yeah, like maybe other parents are not sort of confident enough to tell us about it, but my own parents have voiced those doubts, and sort of the seems like they are somewhat in denial all those years later still. But that's okay. Like, I don't need to change them. Yeah, I think the idea of that people have, many people have, when they think of autistic person, is a Rain Man. Yeah, so almost nonverbal, just talks about one thing only. Most people don't realize it's the whole spectrum where you can go from very deep on the spectrum to a level where you might not even be able to say that the person's different from you. But people also don't realize that maybe all of us are, to some extent, on the autistic spectrum, because we all find those traits in us, like repetitive behavior, sometimes antisocial. I look at my dad, definitely. I look at myself, some of my colleagues. No, you don't judge anyone for that. You just kind of tick the box, so like, okay, like... Or sometimes Adriana tells me, now you're behaving totally autistic. And that happens probably a few times a day for me. So, but yeah, people are definitely, I think the view of autism is very narrow in the world. The acceptance, probably makes acceptance somewhat lower than it could have been. I think, which is what I would wish for anybody, for both of my kids, for anybody else's kids, is to live up to their potential. And none of us really know what it is. That's why we kind of, some of us have sort of one midlife crisis, and others have the second and third, because you go through this breaking points of trying to figure out, am I living to my potential? And I want him to be able to do that, like anyone else, and find his niche, whether it's one, whether it keeps on changing over time, and he finds other things, and that he feels productive. I think when you feel productive, you are happy. That's, yeah. I would like to find out, hopefully, in my lifetime, at some point, an explanation. So where does it come from? So we know it has a genetic component, as you said earlier. And to understand, is it a disease? Or is it just sort of one of those things that makes us different, which may not have any sort of, which does not require cure? You know, like some of us are shorter, some are taller. They all look different, and maybe this is just what it is. This is one of those components. I think for me personally, it would be interesting to kind of get to understand that. on top of obviously on learning what to do with it and how to help those that have it. But I'd like to be able to go back and just understand the origins of it. What is it?